There's a spiritual dynamic of how we live our lives and how that ties to a spiritual reward of service. God has called us to serve one another. This is an act of service Paul's talking about. He ties it not only do a good job and listen to your supervisor and do what you need to do, but he ties it to the spiritual part of our life because you're working to the Lord and you know ultimately your inheritance comes from him.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Andy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Today begins the first part of Dr. Randy's three-part teaching series entitled Intentional Living at Work. Now, to help you be intentional for your work, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. I was thinking as we were starting this program today on intentional workplace relationships, being intentional in the workplace, that if you work full-time, about a third of your entire adult life, basically up until retirement, is in the workplace. And a third, you're sleeping, you know? So it's a really big deal. It's a legacy issue, and the Bible speaks to it and the importance of being intentional in this area. And so we're beginning today a three-day series on intentional living in the workplace. And when I recorded this, I called the lesson, How to Work Yourself Out of a Job. You hear me start with that? Because ultimately, that's what we want to do. We want to grow in such a way and be such a, you know, a relational person and such a leader in the workplace that we're actually replacing ourselves. I think that's a strength. We'll talk about that. And I'm sharing with you the intentionals, the top 10 list on how to be successful and intentional in your relationships in the workplace. And we're going to get to the teaching here in just a moment. Hey, listen, we're just off of a great couple of weeks, a busy couple of weeks with the Arizona Intentional Love Marriage Conferences. We had a fantastic time. Sell out in Glendale and a great time this last weekend at Youth Haven in Michigan. I want to thank Larry and Lars and the team at Youth Haven, everybody that was involved, all their work and all their effort. My wife and I had a great time. Thank you for those who came. And I hope many of you were really strengthened in your marriage. Okay, let's get started here as we begin this series. I'll take you over to the teaching studio here at the Intentional Living Center. What I want to talk about today in this lesson is the topic, how to work yourself out a job. And I have Donna proof my slides, and she said, you want people to work themselves out of a job? And I thought that was a fair question. But you know what? If we come to a ministry or we come to our work simply as a job, I would hope that our goal would be to work ourselves out of seeing what we do as a job and see it as an opportunity to really serve one another. I was looking at some statistics online, and in the New York Times, there was an article that was written giving the results of a survey done by the Gallup organization in 2011-2012 worldwide, over 160 countries. They interviewed employees. People did all sorts of jobs in different places on the planet. And what they found, maybe you've heard the statistic, it's come out in the last 6-7 months, only 13% of employees are engaged at work. 13%. And they classify engagement, meaning that I'm emotionally involved in what I do, that I'm really engaged in what I do, that I'm passionate about what I do. And as I read that number, I thought how sad it is that on the planet, only 13 out of 100 people going to work 8 hours a day really feel engaged with what they do. And when you think about how brief life is, how sad of a statistic that is. Gallup found that 63% of employees are not engaged. What that means is they go to work, they do their job, they may even do a good job, but they're not engaged in it. They're not emotionally involved, they're not really caring, they're not motivated for what they do, but they do it. Maybe out of their own value system or their own character or their own sense of personal survival, they do a good job, but they're not engaged with what they do. And then Gallup found that 24% of employees, almost one out of four employees on the planet, report that they are actively disengaged in their employment, meaning that they're unhappy, unmotivated, dislike what they do, and go home at the end of the day completely probably discouraged, burned out, and don't care, just getting through the day. And as I thought about those statistics, I thought, how do I prepare a lesson this month as we wrap up this year for those who are members of the family, those of you who are supporters and team members, and you stand with us in support of intentional living, as well as for us as a staff. And what I wanted to do, if it's okay, for those who are listening to the CD, and thank you for your support, I want to share with us as a staff. I want to get real personal with us here and have you all listen in, because I think the things I'd like to share this morning, I think will be applicable to all of us, not only in a work setting, but maybe we serve in a church. Maybe we serve in our community activities. Maybe you serve on a board. Maybe you serve your family. That the principles that I want to teach this morning, these 10 things that I think help us move from disengagement to engagement in work, will be applicable. But I want to share it as a group of body of believers here, those of us who work together in this ministry. Because I would hope that in a ministry setting, these statistics would be much different. Because our calling is so much higher and our purpose is driven by such greater results and intention to see people's lives changed radically. When you think about these statistics, that 24% are actively disengaged and 63% only getting through the day, 87% of people on the planet are just getting through the day in their work. One-third of your day, one-third of your 24 hours, half of your waking hours. When you think about it, it's a sad commentary that we'd have any number at all that would go through the day not engaged with what they do. And work is an opportunity to provide for our family. It's an outlet for fulfilling our purpose and our skills. It's an opportunity to make a difference. And when you think about it being one-third of our 24 hours, I think it's worth stopping and thinking about one of these five essential areas. And we talk about one of the essential areas is work and the value of work and the importance of work. So what I'd like to do is get a biblical perspective. So let's take a look at what the Bible has to say about work. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, look at what Paul says about the importance of work. He says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward." A couple of things I wanted, before we get into these 10 things that are real practical, basic things about staying engaged in work and being successful in whatever work we do. If it's here or if God has you in another place, these principles work, not only at Family Life and Communications and Intentional Living, Family Life Radio, but will work any place on the planet. But before we get into those, I think it's important to understand what the Bible's telling us here. What is Paul telling us? He says, whatever you do. What Paul is saying to us is, this isn't just for the president. This isn't just for me. You know, you say, well, yeah, obviously the leadership's engaged because you have the responsibility, but my job, I'm here kind of maybe feeling like I'm lost in the works and I got things that I do every day. But you know, on the planet, we got people today who are cleaning restaurants, and we got people who are digging ditches, and we got people who are teaching our kids in school. We got people who are bank presidents, and we got people doing all sorts of different jobs. And God makes no distinction about that when it comes to work. He doesn't put a higher value on one kind of work over another. I can remember when my very first job was as a busser at a large hotel in a restaurant, and I'd clean the, you know, these tables, these people leave messes, and The kids would dump everything on the ground, and you know, you have to clean up the whole mess and take it in the kitchen and rinse off all the dishes and get everything into the washer and all that kind of thing. And what God is saying is, being a busser in a restaurant or in a hotel or being the president of the United States, Paul says to us, whatever you do, whatever you do.
Thank you for listening to Intentional Living. Today's teaching is just a portion of a multi-part lesson to help you live an intentional life in Christ. To see how you can receive a complete copy of the teaching on CD, go to theintentionallife.com. Dr. Randy will be right back.
If you've got a minute, I'll give you three ways to be a contributor and not a complainer.
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Your host is Linda Swindling, our intentional workplace expert.
Some people go to work and spend the day criticizing and whining. Really? It's called work for a reason. Remember the difference between contributors and complainers. First, complainers tend to focus on the past and they avoid performing their work. Contributors look to the future and what can be accomplished. Second, complainers are critical and they keep others from working. Contributors are encouragers. and they support their coworkers. Complainers create problems for others, but contributors look for solutions and ways to add value. Be intentional. Choose to be a contributor. For Intentional Living, I'm Linda Swindling.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. Today's teaching from the Intentional Living Center is available to you with our thanks for your gift to the ministry. The teaching includes not only what you hear on the radio today, but all sessions of this entire series. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy as he continues today's teaching.
I can remember when my very first job was as a busser at a large hotel in a restaurant. And I clean the, these tables, these people leave messes, and kids dump everything on the ground, and you have to clean up the whole mess and take it in the kitchen and rinse off all the dishes and get everything into the washer and all that kind of thing. And what God is saying is, being a busser in a restaurant or in a hotel or being the president of the United States, Paul says to us, whatever you do. So this is for all of us in this ministry. It's for no matter what our titles are, no matter what our job function may be, no matter if what we do we don't enjoy all that much, or really trying to learn to do it, or we really feel like we're in a square, peg in a round hole. But whatever we do, Paul says, work with all of your what? What does he say? Work with all of your heart. And it was interesting, in that study on engagement, they said that people who are disengaged don't do what they do with all of their heart. We use the statement, my heart's not in it. You've heard that statement? My heart's not in it. What that means is, I'm doing it, but I ain't here. My body may be here. My mind may even be here to do this task, but I didn't bring everything to this task. You ever had things that your heart's not in? Man, I'll tell you, there's a lot of projects I get into my heart's not in. And when my heart's not in it, it's just get it done, get it beyond it, and move on with life. But Paul says to us, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart. And then it's interesting, he said, as working for the Lord, not for men. You know what? I believe this. When you show up here at this ministry, you don't work for me. You work for God. Now, we have roles and responsibility within this. All of us have accountability. I just came out of a board meeting where I'm accountable to the board. Leadership's accountable to me. Managers accountable. Staff, we have different responsibilities. We all have different roles. But Paul reminds us, if we can get our minds straight on this, here's where engagement begins. What we do isn't just for the boss, isn't just for me, isn't just for your department. The Bible says we're doing it unto the Lord. That changes our mind. When we're doing a task and we say, I really don't want to do this, I really don't like doing this, but I'm working as unto the Lord. What's interesting here is what Paul says next. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. There's a spiritual dynamic of how we live our lives and how that ties to a spiritual reward of service. God has called us to serve one another. This is an act of service Paul's talking about. And he ties it, not only do a good job and, listen to your supervisor and do what you need to do, but he ties it to the spiritual part of our life, because you're working to the Lord and you know ultimately your inheritance comes from him. So when I have a bad board meeting, which I don't have often, but if I come away from a board meeting, I think, these guys don't get it. They don't understand what I'm facing. It's easy to look at the board and say, well, if they'd get on board, then get on board, you get the joke? If they'd get on board, everything would be okay, see? Then I realize my work is as unto the Lord. This can be true as you work with your coworkers, as you work with your supervisors, as you work in your department, to see that what we do every day, ultimately, when we stand before God someday, your supervisor's not going to be there, I'm not going to be there, our policy manual's not going to be there, those staff meetings aren't going to be there. It's going to be us standing before the Lord to give an account of how we lived our lives. I'm not talking about salvation here. We're not saying you work harder so you can get into heaven. But we're saying that ultimately, we work as unto the Lord, and in the process of doing this, our inheritance is from him. that make sense? I think it's important to set that groundwork, because what I want to share now, I'm going to transition and talk about just some real basic things that I've observed over 35 years of leadership, working with people, being an employee, being a boss, things that I've read and studied about human behavior and how to be successful in work. And I promise that these 10 things I'm going to share with you make a difference. It separates people who are successful from unsuccessful in their careers and in work. And so, are you ready to go? Let's begin. Number one, how to work yourself out of a job is do just a little bit more. Just, you know, don't get off at the first exit. Go the extra mile. Most people in the workplace, based on the statistics we've seen, get to the very first exit and get off. Do just enough to get done and then get off. I can be guilty of that. We all can be guilty of it. It's human nature. And I think there's two things. Intentional focus on what we do, why we do it. And those of us who struggle in being very focused on what we do, it's harder. But secondly, is doing just a little bit more. I was thinking about this in terms, what would be different in our lives if we did just a little more about caring for other people? Just a little bit more caring, a little bit more love. What if we gave just a little bit more time to a task or to a problem? What if we gave just a little more tenderness? What if we saved just a little bit more than we do now? What if we went out of our way and thought about something just a little bit longer before we acted on it? What if we worked just a little bit harder? What separates success from lack of success is often the person who goes just the little bit extra, does the little bit more.
Boy, we're live back here in the broadcast studios at the Intentional Living Center. And that's the first part of a three-day series on intentional workplace relationships. And I think it even goes beyond just relationships. It talks about the power of being the kind of employee or boss in the workplace that really honors Christ and ultimately working yourself out of a job. We'll continue this tomorrow. You know, you can improve your most important relationships by being intentional in Christ. And I would like to get to you this entire teaching. For you, maybe for people in your workplace, this would be a great opportunity to sit down and share it and talk through this process of intentional living in the workplace. And as you share a gift to the ministry of any amount, we're going to say thanks by sending you the complete teaching, Intentional Living in the Workplace, as a way of saying thank you. And for those who are becoming monthly members, click the box to become a monthly member. You'll receive this teaching plus two other helpful lessons to help you be intentional with your high-stake relationships, with your adult children, and with your in-laws. Three practical teachings, plus ongoing teaching every month for members. All of my teaching come to you as a way of encouraging you and mentoring you. Find out more by going to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours and press option number 4, okay? All right, Sylvia standing by. We'll get to her in just a few minutes.
Are you intentional with your relationships that matter the most? Your high-stake relationships? Dr. Randy Carlson is here to help. In today's teaching, he presents practical biblical lessons to help you be intentional at your workplace. The complete teaching is on CD and is yours with our thanks for your gift of any amount to the ministry. And if you become a monthly member of Intentional Living, you'll receive this teaching, plus two other helpful series from Dr. Randy on high-stake relationships with your in-laws and with your adult children. That's three practical full-length teachings when you become a member. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call 1-888-1717 during West Coast business hours and press option 4.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, inviting you to the Thrive Conference for Families and Business coming to Grand Canyon University in Phoenix on October the 26th. Register early to assure seating for you and your family. You know every day your faith, your family, your future, and your finances are at stake. And at the Thrive Conference, you're going to gain a lot of encouragement for you and your family. Register today at familybusinessconference.com. That's familybusinessconference.com.
My name is Rhonda. I don't think you should have to check your faith at the door. I think you should be able to witness at work or anywhere else that you are. But at the same time, by allowing a Christian to witness anywhere they want to, you have to be ready for somebody of a different faith, of a different religion, to share their faith and their opinion with you, which could be good in the long run. You get to share Jesus with somebody who obviously doesn't know Jesus. But I can understand why an employer may say you can't do it, just to avoid the religious confrontation that could occur. That's my comment. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for sharing that. Being bold in your faith, and it's more complicated, landmines everywhere in the workplace today, especially in terms of sharing values and religious beliefs. But, you know, the greatest testimony is your life. Let your life shine. Let your life be an example to other people that they'll be drawn to Christ, obviously flowing through you. That's the key. All right, Sylvia's on the line, wants to get unstuck in the workplace. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Doing great. What's your question today?
Well, my question is how to get unstuck, because I've been with this company for 4 years, uh-huh. and there's times that it's fantastic, and then there's times where it's like, what is going on? I feel stuck. Like I can't move forward from the next step in the system.
Uh-huh. And so you're kind of career-oriented. You're looking to move on, take on greater challenges, take on more responsibility, have greater opportunities to be successful, if I hear you right.
Yes.
Okay. Which, by the way, I'm looking at this list of top reasons people hate their job, and that's number three. They're not being challenged is number three. Number six is there's no room for advancement. And so you're hitting on some of the two of at least the issues that are faced. Have you gone to your supervisor or up the chain and find out what career path is available for you in the business?
Well, the business that I'm in, it's actually our own business. We're independent associates.
Uh-huh.
And there's a system that we follow. And like I said, I followed the system, and somehow, like I said, I'll get the appointment. I'll talk to the person that I need to talk to in order to offer this employee benefit, and then nothing happens. I won't hear back from them. It's just weird. And I'm like, wow, they were just so enthusiastic. They said, yes, I want to offer it. But then when I follow up for the date, nothing happens.
You know, Sylvia, I'll tell you what I would do. I don't know what your product is. Doesn't much matter. But I think I would go and try to talk to some others who are doing exactly what you're doing, and find out what the statistics look like. Because in sales, as you know, every sales mm-hmm. thing has an average. If it's 1 out of 10, we'll buy. It's kind of that way all across the board. So are your statistics averaging what others are doing, or are you off on your response rate?
I'm averaging what others are doing. That's
right.
Why I don't understand why I'm not moving ahead.
Well, when you say moving ahead, what does that mean? You want to sell more, or you want to get another job in the business?
No, I don't want to get another job. I'm very happy with the company that I am with. I'm not moving ahead in the form of, like I said, when I follow the system, I do what needs to be done, and I'll talk to the decision maker. But
yeah.
From there, it just nothing happens.
Yeah, but what I was asking though, Sylvia, is you're saying like what? 1 out of 10 you get to, or what's your percentage?
Well, 2 out of 10 is what I get.
Okay, 2 out of 10, and everybody in the system basically is 2 out of 10.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe it's a reality. I mean, you have to consider the fact that if everybody's following the system, and the system is generating 2 out of 10, which some people say you're getting 2 out of 10, you know, that's not all that bad. You got to ask yourself, either the system, or the product, or should I be in a place where I can be more successful for the amount of work that I'm putting into it? Maybe that you're as successful as this particular system is going to allow you to be. I don't know. Is that possible?
Maybe.
Yeah.
It could be a possibility. I've thought about that as well. If this is where I am supposed to be, or should I be somewhere else?
Mm-hmm. Well, it gets back to goals. You know, I believe that God plants us in places, and wherever we're planted, we're to serve. The Bible's clear on that. We serve as unto the Lord. If you're in sales or if you're in a ministry, you know, ministry, I don't think it's just for, quote, ministry, church, and so on. It's we have a ministry wherever we are. And I think it's a question, are you in your area of giftedness? Are you in a place where you can really honor God and serve Him, and you feel that you're have opportunity to grow and advance. If you don't, then maybe it's time to look at some career counseling, get some pray about some other opportunities that would honor your current employer and be faithful to them while you're looking for something else. Something to consider, at least. You know, getting stuck sometimes, the only way you get unstuck is God's using that to say, hey, maybe I need to be somewhere else.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
Hi, Dr. Randy Carlson. My name is Juan, and I've been hearing your program, and it's been really helping me. I am going through a separation, possible divorce. I've been taking the challenges that you've been saying on the radio, and before I even turn on the TV to watch the weather or sports, I get on my knees and pray and fall asleep praying. These last couple of weeks, the Lord has been opening doors for a new job, and I believe that the Lord's showing me things that He's with me. He says that He will show you things, big things and impossible for those that trust in Him, and I believe that the Lord's telling me that He's going to work through this marriage. I just ask you to keep my wife, Veronica, in prayer, and I want to support your ministry, and I did it, and I really bless God for your ministry, and I pray that God use you to help others. God bless you, and we'll be supporting you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Juan. Appreciate it. The fact that you're standing with us is something I appreciate. And what we're doing is trying to share what the Bible teaches in very practical ways about living your life intentionally and following Him and the difference it can make. Right now, we're in a 3-day series on the workplace. Big deal. It's important. You want to be intentional there. And I want to thank those of you, by the way, who've been calling or going online even today to share a gift with the ministry. And we're going to say thank you by sending the complete teaching, Intentional Living in the Workplace, to you. And for those who are clicking the button saying, hey, include me in every month, a monthly membership, thank you for doing that. You know, your $30 a month or whatever God lays on your heart is so valuable to keep us going. Also, what we're going to do is not only send you the Intentional Living Workplace teaching, but this whole series, first part of the series on high-stake relationships that include discussions we've had about in-laws and about your adult children. And then every month, a brand new ongoing teaching, fresh, to help you, encourage you, and as you travel in your life, and we'll be here to help mentor you. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. You can share there at theintentionallife.com or call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours, okay? Hey, you probably heard earlier, we got a brand new conference coming for families in business in Phoenix coming up in October. Check it out at our website, okay? We'll see you next time with more help on intentional workplace relationships.